You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We are so privileged today. We did a show with Denise Bossert not that long ago, last year. And as we said goodbye, she told us about her book that would soon be in print. And soon has come to pass, and we're having her back.
And Denise has written this book about biblical encounters between the Virgin Mary and her cousin Elizabeth before the births of Jesus and, of course, John the Baptist. Well, Denise gives us her prayerful insights and gifts that she experiences as she acts as a Christ-bearer. And we have to learn, what does it mean to be a Christ-bearer?
Well, let's welcome her father, and then we can find out. Welcome, Denise, to Mary's Touch.
Thank you. It is great to be with both of you again.
It is.
And as Father said, let's start out with asking, to you, what does Christ-bearer mean?
Oh, it's everything. I think when we look to the Blessed Virgin Mary, we realize it is all of who we are. You know, a lot of people think evangelization, it's something that they do maybe once a month, maybe once a year. It's passing a book along, and certainly those are acts of evangelization. But being a Christ bearer is all-consuming. It is every part of who we are. And we have only to look to the Blessed Mother to know how to do that, to know how to step into that role of sharing and bringing Jesus Christ to those around us, both near and far, you know, and looking at the visitation, we see that and what that means to her, you know, is the very first thing she did. It is, you know, it is in our joy, in our courage, in our encounters. And it isn't something that we do for an hour on Sunday. You know, that is when we receive Christ. That's our moment of annunciation when Christ comes to us. Then we are sent out to share him, which is the very first thing that she did. So I think the misconception is that sharing and bearing Jesus Christ might be something that we do once a year or once a month. It is something we do 24/7.
It's who we are, right?
It's who we are.
Right.
Very good.
Well, and here you are with a new book, and perhaps we should just take a little step backwards, and would you tell our audience, give a quick summary of who you are and what made you write this book, and then then everybody will be caught up. They'll go, oh, yes, I remember Denise. Yes, would you do that for us?
I will do that. I am probably the most unlikely person to write a book on the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm a convert, as you know, and my father was a Protestant minister. And I grew up in a home that was, Dad wasn't really anti-Catholic, he was more ecumenical, but my mom's side of the family was very anti-Catholic, and certainly there was a bias against all things Mary, including, you know, in my father's mind. And so when I came into the church, which I told the conversion story, you know, when I was with you before.
Yes.
But when I came into the church, I think the thing that drew me was, first of all, Carmelite spirituality. I'd been reading some books. And as soon as I understood what Catholic understanding of Holy Communion and the Eucharist is, there's no other place to call home but Mother Church. You know, when you've loved Jesus since you were in third grade, you will go where you can find him in his real presence. And I think for many converts, when they realize that, there is no place to call home but, you know, the Catholic Church. But that doesn't mean that the, you know, the primary obstacle and bias is that they have inherited don't still, you know, exist and have to be worked through by the power of the Holy Spirit. And for me, it really was the Immaculate Conception. And I struggled with that greatly in RCIA class. And finally, my instructor said, Denise, I've tried to lay out Scripture, and I know you're trying really hard. Just, you know, place a petition, I guess, before the Blessed Mother to have her show you who she is, that she's the Immaculate Conception. And so I went home that day, and I made that petition, and the Blessed Mother, and it was an unlikely petition. I won't get into it because it's complicated, and there's a backstory to it, but there was no way this petition would be answered.
Did you make sure of that? I mean, sometimes we ask things that we know are going to be impossible.
Well, what I did was my petition to her, it was as doubtful that she could pull it off as I believed the Immaculate Conception to be, okay? So okay. I kind of matched my petition to the degree of doubt that I had so that, you know, if she answered it, and I was willing to receive, you know, I wanted to know truth.
Sure.
It wasn't that I wanted, you know, a big miracle or anything. I just wanted to know what was true, and my doubt was so overwhelming. I was like, St. Thomas, show me the wounds, and then I can believe, and I want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she answered that petition within 24 hours of my placing it before her. I immediately knew that she's the Immaculate Conception.
Sort of a request coupled with a challenge.
It was. I'm so glad she, you know, understood that it came out of weakness, it came out of misunderstanding, it came out of things through no fault of my own that I had inherited as a faith heritage with a bias, and it wasn't because I didn't love her, it's I just didn't know her,
mm-hmm.
and she was ready to show me who she is.
Right, it's sort of like those people who, they say, I'm an atheist, and so then they'll look up toward the heavens. Everybody always looks up when they're challenging God, you know.
Right.
And no matter which side of the earth you're on, you look up. They forget it's round. But they do that, and they shout out a challenge, sort of like
yeah.
you did. You know, they say, okay, God, if you're really, really God, if there really is a God, then show me a sign.
Yeah.
Well, first thing is obviously by the challenge, they are acknowledging the reality of God.
Yeah.
And so they contradict themselves by asking the question and challenging God. And you yourself were seeking the answer because you wanted more knowledge, it sounds to me like. And God bless you for wanting to know.
And our Mother of Mercy and Grace came to me in my hour of weakness and said, okay, sweetie, I'll show you who I am. And I'll show you in the way you need to know.
It's sort of like coming into the presence of our Lord. And what do we really mean by coming into the presence of our Lord? I love the way you, Denise, have talked about John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, when Mary walked into her presence with the babe, Jesus, in her womb, and Elizabeth said, when you entered, the babe in my womb leaped with joy in the presence of our Lord. And who am I that the mother of our Lord should come and visit me? And I just wonder so many times, we talk about conversion experiences or things that have happened to us that are so wondrous. And it's sort of like that leap, you know, the leap of faith, which has been touted for so many years by so many theologians now. And it's that leap of faith which we all hope to experience, and somehow or the other we get there. I think when I made my leap, I fell in a mud puddle, but then got up and you know, cleaned myself off a bit and continued on further by the grace of God.
Right.
Because we take a lot of wrong turns sometimes along the way. And
right. It is a long journey.
Yeah, I appreciate your book because you give hope to people. You know, your own journey has led you into some marvelous revelations.
Well, such love for our mother. And then the journey continued to be a journey of knowledge in your mind of knowing, okay, instantly I knew that I had a mother. But there was a growth process of knowing with my heart what that meant. And still continues to this day, and I think that that's, you know, part of our ongoing journey as we journey with our Lord and we journey with His Mother who shows us how to love Him and share Him and bear Him to others. And so really the book is a product of that journeying, going deeper and saying, I want to know you more. as my mother and who you are and who you were in your encounters. And I want to be like you.
Well, you mentioned the gifts that you have received in the encounter with Mary and Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about those gifts?
Sure.
Either all of them or the ones that have come to your mind immediately.
Sure. The book is titled Gifts of the Visitation, Nine Encounters with Mary and Elizabeth. There are 10 chapters, but the core 9 chapters each talk about a different gift that was present, that we see activated at the visitation. And with the premise being that these are gifts that we can step into as well by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are gifts that we have access to. And if we do that, if we let the visitation be the blueprint for how we share Jesus Christ with others, these gifts will be ours and we will be effective sharers of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as they were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before I do that, there's a prerequisite. So in the introduction, I talk about you must be open to whatever God is going to bring along to you, whatever he has in mind for you. You know, as Ephesians says, you are a handiwork created for good works in Christ Jesus, that you would live in them. So the first thing, the prerequisite, is that you need to be open to whatever that's going to be, just as the Blessed Mother couldn't have envisioned that she would be the Mother of God. But when presented with this, she had an openness and, she was ready to say whatever, you know, you ask of me. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. And then it goes into the first gift, and the first gift is spontaneity, because if we have that openness when presented with what we're called to do and be, our answer will be yes, a spontaneous yes, not a yes that's reserved or restricted or it's unwavering yes to whatever God presents to us that he's calling us to do. And for the Blessed Virgin Mary, we all obviously see that. But it's interesting because if we lift the veil on Ein Kerem, where Elizabeth lived, she too had to have a gift of spontaneity because she was long past childbearing. You know, here she is in old age, presented with the fact that she's pregnant. She's with child, this thing that she had wanted and probably a desire she'd put away, tucked away like you might in a cedar chest. It's gone. It's done. That time has passed. And with spontaneous yes, she says, okay, I'm going to take this life of motherhood on, and, you know, old age would never be the same, you know. And the second gift we see is courage, and I make a point of saying, you may think you're not courageous, but by the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to you at the moment of your confirmation, you received courage. So it's just a matter of activating that gift or asking the Holy Spirit to make it manifest in your life because you have it already. You know, and we look at the Blessed Mother, and what people may not realize, and I've been to the Holy Land a couple times, Nazareth to Ein Kerem is an 80-mile journey. This was not just walking to the next town. The Blessed Mother, when she decided to go with great haste to visit her relative Elizabeth, what she decided to do was travel the hills of Samaria, the Jordan River Valley, and the hills of Judea, 80 miles, 80 miles. It's incredible to think of her deciding to make this journey for the one reason, to share and bear Jesus Christ. I mean, that's courage. That's a level of courage for a 14-year-old, perhaps about 14 years of age, that I can barely fathom. And when I saw the terrain and how difficult that must have been for her, I'm still just blown away by the courage that it took for her to do it. But we too must say, and we will be given the courage that we need to do whatever we need to do, we must say, I will do this. I will be courageous for Christ and wherever he sends me.
Living in the hill country of Texas, we are always so impressed that it made scripture, you know, that Mary went with haste into the hill country.
Yes, because that's where we live, is the hill country.
And you mentioned that the terrain and all. And,
yeah.
And she did make her way there with great courage, as you point out, and which is an interesting thing because there is probably nothing more frightening to suddenly realize that by the grace of God, you have the courage to do something you didn't know you had the nerve to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. In fact, last time I traveled with some Texans from Houston, and I remember them saying that some of the places in Israel really did remind them of their home state.
Yeah, I too was there about almost 2 years ago now,
uh-huh.
And when I was reading your book, I thought of this trip, and I could picture Mary, but it was blowing, and the sand hit your face like little knives. You know, and yeah. You're right. I just thought this wasn't the easiest thing.
No. And I didn't mention this in the book, but think about it. It was not a one-way trip. As she's journeying to Elizabeth's home, she knows that later on she will be having to make this trip all the way back.
Right.
So
right.
It took so much courage, but she did it because she wanted to share Christ. I mean, how simple is that? If we can just, like, this is the blueprint. If we can just step into that simplicity of sharing Christ, that's it. Then, you know, these gifts will come to us. We will be open to receiving all the gifts that we need, even if they are gifts so amazing as courage to be able to journey 80 miles, you know, in really rugged terrain.
Oh, right. We're just getting started, and we already have to take a break. But we know that's two of the nine, so we're looking for seven more gifts when we return. We're visiting with Denise Bossert and talking about her new book, Gifts of the Visitation. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love in our lives. Visit marystouch.org to find out how you can help support us with your prayers and your donations. Find out more about Mary and tell us your story. It's all at marystouch.org.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte. We've been broadcasting Mary's Touch for 9 years now. Each and every year, we've won a special award, from being the best Catholic radio program in North America to being the best Catholic website at marystouch.org. So visit us there, marystouch.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And thanks for listening every week to Mary's Touch. Welcome back. We're visiting Denise Bossert, and she is sharing the nine spiritual encounters or gifts we receive when we too are bearers of Christ into the world.
Hi, Denise. Once again, we're so delighted to continue this intellectual and spiritual journey with you, and thank you for sharing all of this with us. As we get into these other gifts, I wanted to ask you very quickly about the books that seem to have encouraged you as you were beginning this particular journey. You talked about St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. Those two authors don't offer the easiest little introduction into spirituality.
No.
And congratulations.
Well, especially Interior Castle. You know, it was in reading St. Teresa's Interior Castle. That was my aha moment, my epiphany, where I wanted to have what she had and to have her faith and to even have hope of that. I would have to, you know, call my faith home, her faith home. But sharing books, you know, we're talking about a book here. Sharing books with other people is just so profound, because truly I read my way into the church by the power of the Holy Spirit showing up in those books. So pass your books along and be willing to share, because the saints just really came to me through their own writings in these books that were 500 years old.
Oh, that's wonderful. My birthday is the feast day of St. John of the Cross, so I have a special affinity
wonderful.
For that. Right. Well, now to continue this journey of the gifts, Denise, I think it's time that we jumped for joy.
It is. In fact, when a gift talks on sharing and bearing Jesus Christ, it's usually, you know, at a parish or a conference, and I'll say, if I were teaching you, if I were in this were a college classroom, I'd say, get out your pen and write this down. This one's really important, and you need to write this down if you take nothing else away from this, and that is joy. Because without joy, people will not follow. And I read somewhere that people will not do what we do just because we do it, but they will do what we do if they understand why we do it. And so joy is, I mean, we all want joy in our life. So if they see joy, they're going to follow. So obviously joy spilled over Elizabeth and the Blessed Virgin Mary. There was so much joy there. And we don't even really have to ponder very much further to know. I mean, just look at the Magnificat and you see joy everywhere at the Visitation. Yeah. And so the fourth gift is a spirit of readiness, because all too often, and I think this happens with a lot of Catholics, they'll feel an initial call to something that they're to do, and then that's where they stay. And that may be where they're supposed to stay, but there may be another part to it, a part B to what God is calling them to. So when we look at the Blessed Virgin Mary, we look at the Annunciation, and we see her spontaneous yes to that, but that wasn't, okay, now just, you know, sit in your home in Nazareth and wait for it to happen. There was something that came next, almost immediately, and she was ready for what came next. So to have a spirit of readiness for what's the next phase of this continued journey, you know, in sharing Jesus Christ.
Do you also think the word that we should use there is action? I mean, you can be ready, but then you have to take the first step.
Yes. And she did, and when she knew what it was, and I imagined her laying there, you know, at night, those first few nights in Nazareth, realizing, you know, what is happening and what God is calling her to and what should come next. I mean, she was ready. What do you want from me? I'm open to what comes next. And the Holy Spirit is the one who led her to say, think of the words of the archangel. He spoke of your relative Elizabeth. That's where I want you to go next. So it's like embedded in the first call, you see sort of where you're supposed to go with the ongoing journey. And she immediately puts her feet to the road truly and takes action, as you said, Sherry.
Because I think you mentioned, you know, people will understand what they're supposed to do, but they don't take that first step. Maybe it's too scary. But then you have to know, if God's asking you to do this, take that step. And if it's not what you're supposed to be doing, I think you'll know faster than know what you're supposed to be doing.
Right. And even you stay connected to your spiritual director, your priest, you know. You stay connected, so you're not just flying off somewhere, you know. But she walked so closely with the Lord, and she's the Mother of God, so Jesus Christ is within her, you know, so guiding every step. Mm-hmm. But certainly step into that courage when you need it to be able to act on what the fourth gift is, which is, you know, readiness.
Right.
And so the fifth gift is humility, And when I think about this, I think, you know, what was her response? What would our response have been? You know, mine might have been, I get to be the mother of the King of Kings. Hey, there's a certain power that's going to go with this. That never entered her mind. For her, it was, I am the handmaid of the Lord. For her, it was, when we look at the Magnificat, you know, I am his lowly handmaid. She proceeds with humility, whereas, you know, we might proceed with, wow, what's this going to look like? And
right, yeah.
A certain pride. And even, you know, Elizabeth, we look at Elizabeth, and here she's now finally at the pinnacle of her social status, because she's gone from barrenness to being pregnant in a manner they understand, because it's through the marital embrace. And so she has gone from the lowest to the highest status socially, and then in walks a teenage mother, I'm going to stay with you for 3 months. But what is her response? It is, she immediately turns to Mary and says, how is it the mother of my Lord to come to me? Mm-hmm. And we even see a glimpse into, you know, what later St. John the Baptist will say is, I'm not worthy to untie, you know, his sandals. So she is kind of almost foreshadowing that humility and submissiveness in that moment of the visitation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just moving quickly, you know, there's a spirit of adventure. Certainly their lives would never be the same, what they were about to do. And the spirit of hospitality is important, because this is where hands and feet bear Jesus Christ to one another. And so when I thought of the 3 months, I thought of the Blessed Mother truly helping Elizabeth, who in her old age, and all of the aches and pains that go with old age, is now also pregnant on top of it. So she was being truly, you know, hands and feet in service to Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, she was able to have a glimpse into the final trimester of pregnancy and, you know, nursing and things like that, that she wouldn't have her own mother with her when she gave birth in Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or a midwife. So God knew that she would need to learn also from Elizabeth.
I never thought of that.
Of hospitality was certainly a moment where the divine visitation was showing up to prepare both of them for what they were saying yes to.
Yes. Yeah.
The eighth gift is another gift from the Holy Spirit at our confirmation. That's the gift of wonder and awe. Someone recently told me this was their favorite chapter, because there were moments when Mary and Elizabeth had to look at each other and be just struck with wonder and awe that the God who parted seas and the God who closed lions' mouths and caused a donkey to speak, I mean, the God who moved people and cities away to reestablish his people in the promised land, it was all for this reason, right there, what they were doing and the Lord that Mary is carrying. This was the reason for all of the miracles of salvation history.
Right there.
And they were there staring at one another saying, we hold right now the secret that the world will know very soon.
Yes.
We will be bearing this news to the world that everything that came before us in salvation history finds its fulfillment right here and now.
And tell us the last gift. We only have about 2 minutes left.
Sure. This is the gift of thanksgiving because this is the gift that we have when Jesus shows up, when God shows up, you know, and that is what Mass means. It is thanksgiving. So when Jesus comes to us and we receive him, the spontaneous response is a response of thanksgiving. And in the book, I showcase the Magnificat as, you know, see, this is exactly what the Blessed Mother does, utters her song of thanksgiving.
I have read it. It is just a wonderful, wonderful book. It's called Gifts of the Visitation. It's been published by Ave Maria Press. How can people get your book, Denise? We want them to read it.
They can find it probably at their local Catholic bookstore, or they can go at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or to Ave Maria Press.
Oh, well, and I too learned not only lessons, but then I took some ideas and applied it to my life and my friend's life. And a lot of this goes on, and it's great when you can recognize it. We are just so pleased that you were able to tell us about this today.
Thank you, Denise, for emphasizing the fact that all of these things from God are gifts, the gift of life, the gift of all of these specialized gifts, as you've pointed out here, these nine. And thank you for identifying them so that we might incorporate them into our lives. Thank you, and God bless you for your work and for your ability to communicate.
Well, thank you. It is my great joy and privilege to be able to bear Christ to the world.
Wonderful. Thank you for your story. And if you have a story, please let us know at www.marystouch.org. Father and I are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Father, it's almost time for that final blessing, and thanks be to God for Denise being with us today.
Almighty God, we thank you for the many gifts that you have showered upon us, especially for the gift of life which sparked all that we are, for all is a gift from you. And we ask that you continue these blessed gifts by your blessing upon each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.